Well, I am glad to be with you in this way today. I'm going to do things just a little differently than Andrew and ask that you join me in prayer once more. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And I'm going to beg your pardon as I take a sip of water. I am not used to talking this much on a Sunday morning, so give me a minute. All right. All right, here now a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. May God bless this reading. Well, 2 weekends ago, I had the pleasure of being in New York City with my sister and her family. I was there in part because my 8-year-old niece was having her first communion and had been asking for some time if I could visit. This seemed like the perfect occasion. You know, not having children of my own, my nieces are people I would do anything for. Absolutely anything. And I'm so glad I went. We had a great weekend. I got to give my sister and brother-in-law breaks, and added a third pair of eyes, arms, and legs to keep track of 3 little girls. While I was there, we went to indoor playgrounds, outdoor playgrounds, a birthday party, and a street fair. And I got to be there when something very special came in the mail. Something very special indeed. The 2024 Amazon toy catalog arrived just in time for holiday preparations. My 2 oldest nieces were all over that thing. Without instruction, both pulled out different colored markers and circled everything they wanted. I don't think there was 1 page in that catalog without a circle. But some toys were clearly more coveted than others. I heard whispers and screeches proclaiming, I'd do anything for this. My sister, taking advantage of that moment, reminded them that Santa was watching and they'd have to be very good in the next couple of months for him to listen. We will, they assured her. We'll be so good. We'll do anything you ask of us. We humans are like this, I think. When we want something, when we really want it, we imagine that we would give absolutely anything for it. And I think Jesus knew that about us humans. And so he told his followers what the content of their desires should really be. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, should be the content of our desire. It should be not only something we want, but the thing we want above all else. The thing we want so badly that we would give absolutely anything for it. Jesus says we should be willing to leave our families, to leave our dead unburied, to sell all of our possessions and follow him. Following Jesus, cultivating the kingdom of heaven here on earth, this is what matters above all else. Jesus knows that we know what it's like to be willing to do absolutely anything for something we want. As he preaches, it's as if he's saying, you know how you love your families? Love me like that. Do for me in my kingdom what you do for those and that which is most dear and precious to you. Be willing to do absolutely anything for me. Make me and my kingdom the content of your desire, your ultimate concern. Your ultimate concern. This is not a phrase I created, I'm sorry to say. It was coined by 20th century theologian Paul Tillich, who defines religion as one's ultimate concern. For Tillich, there are no atheists. Everyone has something for which they are ultimately concerned. Now, not everyone will call the content of their desire God. Some call it family, as in my family is all I care about. As long as they are well, all is well. Some call it country, as in I would do anything for my country. I would sacrifice all that I have for it. Some call it power, and some call it money. Now, if someone's ultimate concern is power or money, they probably won't name that. In fact, they might not even know it. Here's a small example, and it's about me. I've developed an awareness about myself. I like to shop. I have since I was a kid. My mom is an excellent bargain shopper. She taught me well. And now I love a trip to Goodwill. I love that I can buy two outfits for less than $20. But I've developed an awareness about myself. If I feel the need to shop without actually having a need, it's best for me to pause and reflect on my spiritual life. Honestly, if I haven't been praying regularly, if I haven't been filling my cup with words from God, I find myself trying to fill it in other ways. And yes, that includes shopping. I'll go and buy four new things and feel satisfied and happy for a bit. But that's never enough, right? I want more. And we live in this culture where it's easy to believe the messages we're bombarded with, that if I only have more clothes, for me, more clothes, more books, if I only have more, the content of my desire will be fulfilled. But that's never true, is it? There is no such thing as enough, not when it comes to money, not when it comes to power. Honestly, not even when it comes to country or family. These are all impermanent things, finite things. Things that come and go and slip through our fingers, no matter how desperately we try to hang on. Tillich knew that. And he said that when we mistake the finite for the infinite, the limited for the unlimited, when we make our concern, our ultimate concern, anything but God, that's idolatry. Now, this isn't to say that it's not faithful to love our families, to want to do absolutely everything we can for them. This isn't to say that it's not okay to want to do well at our jobs, to participate meaningfully in community, to desire more for ourselves and our neighbors. I think that this isn't even to say that it's not okay to want to shop every now and again. But for believers, for people who would agree that our ultimate concern is God, is helping to cultivate God's kingdom here on earth, I think Tillich, and I would join him, would offer a special caution. When we find ourselves concerned about something, our families, our jobs, our communities, our countries, our itch for money and power and things, when we find ourselves so concerned about something, as people of faith, we must take a moment and pause. We've got to turn in those moments to our ultimate concern and ask, what would you have me do here? What would you have me give? Then we can act for our present concern and for our ultimate concern. We can act based on whatever it is that God demands of us, the kingdom demands of us, and love demands of us. I think that most of us would say that we would do anything for the people we love, that we would give our very lives to protect them. In situations like this, I think it's pretty clear that God's will aligns with ours. When we do something out of love, God's will aligns with ours. But the relationship between God's will and ours isn't always so clear. Here's another example from my life. I've always identified really closely with my work. I want to do a good job. I want to do the best job. I want to know all there is to know, and I want to study everything I can to be the best help that I can. But sometimes I forget that God is the source of my knowledge, not me. Sometimes I make an idol out of knowledge. I mistake what is finite with what is infinite, and what is limited with what is unlimited. And in these moments, I take everything upon myself and forget to ask what God would have me do, what God would have me give. And I wonder if you can relate, if there's anything you've prized so deeply, you felt like you would do anything for it. Maybe even if just for a moment you surrendered to it, sacrificed everything for it, and found yourself getting lost. Lost in your own sense of what needed to be done. Lost in your own sense of self-importance, or your company's sense of importance, or your country's. All these finite concerns taking up seemingly infinite time and space in our lives because we forget to turn to the ultimate. To God who has everything we could possibly need. Jesus tells us that we could give up everything we have and still have everything we need. Everything. I see this in my own life, the need to constantly turn back and ask God what God would have me do, what God would have me give. And I think about that need in the church right now, too. We all know that the church, the mainline Protestant church in particular, is in a place of change. We can't keep doing the things the way we used to, and we don't know what comes next. It's easy in times like this, I think, to mistake the finite for the infinite, the limited for the unlimited. It's easy to make idols out of membership numbers and programs and buildings. It's easy to cling to these things because we've prized them so deeply. We've seen the good they can do and the love they can spread. But when we mistake the finite for the infinite, we often mistake our thinking for God's, our will for God's. We think that because God moved one way in our world in our lifetimes, that God is going to keep moving in that way. But that's not true. God has moved in so many different ways through time, and that won't stop, no matter our part in it. God is so much bigger than us as individuals, of course, but also than us as the church and as churches. So in this moment of change and uncertainty, I think it's especially important for us to remember to ask, God, what would you have me do? What would you have me give? And then we must be willing to listen, to keep our eyes and hearts open for the treasure, for the pearl of great price. And we must be willing to give everything we have for it, knowing that God will give us everything we need. May God and God's kingdom remain the content of our desires, our ultimate concern. Amen.